We're about to start Halacha Ches, Kuf Chaf Halacha Ches, just to help place where the Halacha is. The first seven Halachas in the Siman were roughly about which types of Kelim need Tefillah. That was the first, not exactly, but roughly that was the first seven Halachas were about which ones need Tefillah. We're now starting the next section. The next four Halachas are about when a person is obligating tefillah, which is to say, tefillah happens when a guy has a kli, and you give it over to someone who's Jewish. At that point, it comes chayavim tefillah. So the next four halachas are going to talk about details of when did it transfer from the guy to the yid to the point that it's chayavim tefillah. And then the last five halachas in the siman are going to talk about, basically they're going to talk about how you do tefillah. Once we know what type of kelim needs tefillah, and then we've got to the point that it's past the point that a Jew owns it, and now it needs tefillah, how do you do that tefillah? Okay, and then, Mirtz Hashem, if we finish that, we'll move to Siman Reish Beis, which is the Dinuvat Chatzitzis for tefillah. Okay, that's a separate siman. Okay, yeah, that's just to put things into place. Okay, so let's read the din. The din says like this. Hashoyel, v'sorcha kli mi'ovi tichavim. If a person borrows or rents a kli from someone who's not Jewish, which is to say he doesn't own it yet, any time tefillah, he doesn't have to title that kli, it's not his, and it still belongs to the guy, he doesn't have to title it. Next, Avlam Yisrael Karnay Me'ov Kechavim V'Hishilu L'Chaveroi. What happens if a Yid bought it from a guy, he did not title it, V'Hishilu L'Chaveroi, he lent it to somebody else, so we just said that borrowing is not considered to be owning it, so the new person doesn't own it. Then Ton Tvila, then the second person has to title it, even though he's only a borrower, Shekvan is Chayv Yaharishin, when the first person bought it from the guy, was ready Chayv in Tvila's Kelim. Now that he lent it to somebody else, it already is Chayv and Tvila's Kelim, so even the second person can't use it without titling it first. The Yesh Mishayimer, and some say, Shem Loi Loch Chayv Yaharishin L'Tzorach Sudah. Well, now that we have an unusual case like this, the first person didn't buy it L'Tzorach Sudah, he doesn't plan on using it for food, El Lachdech Klofim. He has it to cut paper. Okay, so when he bought this first person who bought it from the guy bought it not sorry, Suda, so he's not chayiv in tefillah. But and then he lent it to somebody else who's going to use it for food. Then ain't sorry tefillah. I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. What that means? Why he's not chayiv in tefillah? Okay, so the first person bought it to not use it for food. He's not chayiv in tefillah. He lent it to somebody else who's going to use it for food. It's not chayiv in tefillah. The Ramah says, I'll read the Ramah, we're not going to do so much of that today. A person who took it for not food use and chose to use it for food even temporarily needs to title it. He bought it for cutting paper, he still needs to title it if he can ever use it for not tefillah. Okay, Mr. Shem, we're going to talk about this Ramah next time. The Chen in Kone Yisrael Hashem in a Rishon Tzorach 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 Tefillah Gavi Hashem. What happens if the first person bought it for cutting paper, and now the second person bought it from him to use it for food? The second person needs a title. Okay, so now, the case that we're going to focus on is this last case that the Mechaber said, and then what the Ramah stuck into it, which was, the Yid bought this kli not to use it for food, okay? The Shachar's case was he bought it lachtech klofim, to cut paper. Okay, so the first person who bought it is not chayvin, he's not chayvin tefillah kelim. So the Ramah says, what happens if the person who he temporarily wants to use it for tefillah kelim, he becomes chayvin tefillah kelim? Okay, we're going to talk about that in the future. I'm explaining to you the din. The way I'm reading to you now is the simple way, the simple way how everybody reads the din. There is a shita. Chacham Sofer brings it. He doesn't accept it. He brings such a shita. That says that maybe the Mechaber is talking about a very specific case. Well, maybe the Mechaber who comes from Esav Hector is talking about a very specific case, which was that a person bought a kli, not that he chose to use it, lachtech klavim, but it's a kli that's meant lachtech klavim. Okay? It's meant for cutting paper. He describes his own example. For us, we think of a box cutter. Okay? People buy box cutters, don't use them for cutting chicken. Okay? That's not what box cutters use. They use for cutting boxes, lachtech klavim. Okay? That's what they use for. So, who wants to understand that the Isvahet is going on the Shita, which we'll talk about later, in a different time, which is maybe followed by Tashmishai, that normally the box cutter is used for not food, and even if you use it for food, you might not be chayv to title it. That's a very unusual Shita, we're going to pass that. That's not how we're understanding. Okay? Whereas in the Mechaber and the Rambam, the norm, the way most people do, which is, if you, the person who bought lach techlofen is not chayav in tefillah. If you use it ever for food use, you have to tie it. Okay, but now the second case like this. The Mechaber says, if what happens if the Jew bought it lach techlofen and he sells it to somebody else who's going to use it for food, you chayav in tefillah. Okay, the chiddush of that case is like this. The person who's using it for food, he never bought a kli from a guy. The guy owned the kli. It was sold to somebody, to a Jew who was not chayv in tefillah's kelim, because the person who bought it first had it lach techlofen. That first person is not chayv in tefillah. He's not chayv at all in tefillah, because it's not, for him, it's not a kli. The next person who bought it didn't get it from a guy. He got a kli from a yid, and it didn't need to be titled. So the chiddush is that even so, lamaisa is the kli did come from a guy, originally did belong to a guy, now it's being used for food. So even though it temporarily passed through a state that it was not chayv in tefillah, in the middle it passed to a yid who owned it and it was not chayv in tefillah, even so, that kli is chayv in tefillah, because lamaisa, it once belonged to a guy, now it belongs to a yid who used it for food, it's chayv in tefillah's kli. Okay? So before we move on, I'll just tell you, just for interest, there's a tshuva in the Har Tzvi who brings a raya from this din about a very contemporary shaila. Okay, it has to do with soldiers in the Israeli army who capture some other city, and they take their kelim, okay, and questions about whether those kelim are chayav in tefillah's kelim, and whether you should you say that the kelim became hefker before the yid took it over, the people who ran away because the army was coming were mafkir their stuff. And now when the people took it, they were zeichin it from Hefker, so there were those who wanted to say that it's not chayav in tefillah's kelim, because they didn't get it from a guy, they got it from Hefker. And they wanted to explain why in the Torah, the din of tefillah's kelim is by Mechemes Midyan, instead of Mechemes Sichon V'oi. It should have been, that was their first Mecham, was Sichon V'oi. It wasn't there, because they were mafkir it, and it's a different din when they were doing Kibbutz Shabbat Tzvi. So a whole shot as to why the Torah puts the din in, so to speak, the wrong place. Seemingly the wrong place, not the first war they had, but the second war. And therefore, people wanted to say that therefore the soldiers are not chayav in tefillah's kelim when they capture these dishes. He says, no, it's not true. You see from our din, even if it passes through a state when it's not chayav in tefillah's kelim, if it once belonged to a guy and now belongs to a yid, the way the Yerushalmi says it, it went out from, it had the toma of a guy using it, whatever that means, and now that toma has to be taken off through tefillah's kelim. We don't know what that means, that toma. We don't know what any toma means, but it has some kind of a toma that the guy used it, the guy owned it, he didn't even use it, he owned it. So you have to tell you what now, such as you see that he brings a riot from our din right over here, that it passed through somebody who didn't have to do tefillah. Okay, fine. That's just so. You answer. Okay. Now the question is like this. What would happen if the kli, a yid bought it lach techlofen, okay, and he did not sell it to another yid. But instead of selling it to another yid, he lent it to another yid. So now, the person who bought it is not chayav in tefillah's kelim. He lent it to another yid, and that yid who borrows it chooses to use it for food. The middle person, the third person, chose to use it for food. So, is that like the first case? The Rambam said, if you temporarily use something for food, you chayav in tefillah's kelim. So the guy who borrowed it, he's temporarily, so to speak, using it for food. I am the owner, I don't use it for food. You're the person who borrowed it, you're going to use it for food. Is that like you temporarily chose to use it for food? So that's what the Mechaber says. No. The Mechaber says, Shem lo lacha rishon l'tzarech suda el lachtech klofim, that ain't tzarech l'tzbil, means the person who borrowed from him does not have to title it. And the reason is because the person who gets to make the decision as to whether it's going to be used for food or not for food, that's the owner. The owner is the one who makes that decision, and if the owner chooses to use a lachtech klofim, the fact that somebody else chose to say, no, I'm going to use it for food, that doesn't make a difference. Okay, I'm the owner, I get to make the decision, I'm only using it for food. That's how, in the Chalkos German, he explains it. You could explain it differently. Okay, but you could explain it that it's the owner who's the chayav in tefillah. Okay, either way. Okay, that's what the Mechaber says. But the Isvah had to argue. Okay, that's what the Mechaber says, what I just told you. The owner makes that decision, not the other people. The Isvah had to says that as soon as the Yid buys it from the guy, even though the Yid is buying it lachtech klofen, as soon as he buys it, he doesn't use this word, but we would call it, he's pseudo chayiv in tefillah's kelim. Even though the Yid is not going to use it, like, partially. Okay? Even though it's like, like not partially, like in a theoretical sense. I'll tell you the word, it'll make you feel better. Okay. He doesn't use good work.
Okay.
But that would help you explain it.
He says, but etzem, even though the yid born at Lachter Klof, it's already chayiv in Tfilas Kalim, even though he's not Lamaisa chayiv in Tfilas Kalim. He says, how do I know that he's really chayiv in Tfilas Kalim? He says, because if he would temporarily choose to use it for food, let's say he takes this box cutter and he wants to cut his orange with it, okay, all of a sudden it's chayiv in Tfilas Kalim. That tells me that this thing must be sort of chayiv in Tfilas Kalim already. It's already sort of chayiv in Tfilas Kalim, or else just this little decision wouldn't make a difference. So all you have to, he says, is once it's already partially chayiv in Tfilas Kalim, all you have to do is show just any kind of indication, any kind of show that says, I'm going to use this for food, is already enough to make it chayiv. So it doesn't have to be the owner who does that little indication. He says, I'm having a good word here. Even the owner doesn't have to be the one who gives off that little sign that he's using it for food. Even the person who borrows it also. The point is, it was already basically chayiv in Tfilas Kalim when the person bought it from the guy, even though he bought it lachter klofim. And therefore, he just has to give this little show that says, you know, we have a little food use for this thing, it's already making chayiv. And then the other guy becomes, and then so another person can do that also. Okay, it doesn't have to be the owner. Okay? That's what the Isvahetta says. So the Isvahetta thinks it's chayiv in tefillah with a bracha on that. And the Taz and the Shach bring this, and they say, well, you know, we should be choshish for the Isvahetta, and therefore we should do tefillah's kelim, tefillah without a bracha. Okay? So again, the Mechaber said, if the Yid owns it, and he's not going to use it for food, and someone who borrows it is going to use it for food, it doesn't make a difference. It's not chayiv in tefillah. And Issa Hector says that it is chayiv in tefillah. So Taz and Shach say you should do tefillah without a bracha. Okay, the Pri Chodesh says he doesn't get it at all. He completely disagrees with the Taz and Shach. The Chacham Sam says he first thinks like that. That's seemingly what should be, he thinks should be right. In the end, he comes out and he says like this. He says if it's a clear it's chayiv in tefillah with the Raisa, then for sure you should be choshish for the Taz and Shach, and you should do tefillah without a bracha. If it's a tefillah, it's a chilat. Clear to the chayim tefillah with the rabbanon, it's glass. Then, if it's some kind of a difficulty, the person could be samech on the mechaber and not do tefillah. Okay, now his cases of being difficult that I know one of the cases. The other one I don't exactly get. One of them is he says is if the person has a kli and it's before Shabbos and he doesn't have time and they're not going to have time to tevil it, as they describe the Pri Chodesh, I think also that for sure the chafzan that people this used to be a common practice that people would borrow kelim. How they got it from the people who didn't want it to use, you'll understand in a second. They used to borrow these kalim. So the person came on Shabbos, they had a bunch of company, and they borrowed, you know, 10 cups. All of a sudden, they don't have time to tell you, they're not able to, it's Shabbos. That's the case I do it. The other case is your friend is going to break. Okay, I wasn't sure what that meant.
You can't tell you on Shabbos, right?
You cannot tell you on Shabbos, correct. It looks like tikkun mitzvah. It's not actually tikkun mitzvah, but it looks like tikkun mitzvah. Okay, so it's a machlokes, but it's assumed that you're not allowed to tell you on Shabbos. So he says, you're afraid you're going to break it. I guess the guy's borrowing it. He's extra nervous more than a regular person. I wasn't exactly sure what that case was. Okay, fine. So we have this machlokes. It's a little bit of a complicated case. You have to just hold cup for a second. Okay. I buy the thing to Lachter Klofer, and I don't have to tell you what. I lend it to you, and you want to use it for food, you have to tell you what. So that comes like this. What happens according to the Issa Heter? What happens according to the Isvahetta said, the Isvahetta, not the Tazshap, the Isvahetta said, you're chayim tefillas kelim. So if Moshe borrowed it from me, he's chayim tefillas kelim. When he gives it back to me, what happens if I lend it to somebody else now? Okay. What happens if I take this clay and I lend it to somebody else? Well, that person's going to use it for food. Will that person have to do tefillas kelim? Okay, I'm the owner, and I'm using lachter klavim. I give it to him, and he's going to use it for food, so he decides he has to toilet. That's what the Isvahetta says. Now he gives it back to me, and I lend it to another person, and that person's going to use it. That person's going to use it, chooses to use it for food also. Does that person have to table? Well, according to this vector, no, he doesn't have to table. It was already tabled. He borrowed it. When he borrowed it, he did the tefillah on it, so he did his tefillah. So of course, it doesn't need to be tabled again. The next day, he didn't have to table. It already was tabled. Okay. What about according to the Taz and the Shach? Taz and the Shach said that you should be machmir for the sheet of this vector. So according to this vector, you wouldn't have to table it. What would they say about the next day being tabled? What would the Mechaber say if the guy just went ahead? The Mechaber says the person who borrowed it does not have to table it. What happens if the guy did it anyhow? I'm sure that he decided he didn't table it. Either he did like the Mechaber, he didn't know the Mechaber, or he did like he was Mechaber for the Taz and the Shach, and he chose to table it anyhow. Okay? He didn't have to table it, but he did it anyhow. And now he gives it back to me, and now I give it to the next person. And now I give that kli to the next person. What's the din about that kli? Does it need to be tabled? Doesn't need to be tabled? It was tabled. either according to Mahaber, for sure before it needed tefillah, or according to the Taz and Shach, maybe before it needed tefillah. Okay? So it does, but does it, was the tefillah done or the tefillah was not done? Okay? So, Dainwai says, that you didn't do tefillah. He says, you didn't do anything. He says, on the tzad, the tefillah wasn't required, you didn't do tefillah. He says, so you gotta do it again. Next person's gonna have to do it. Okay?
Why is it worth it by tefillah like 2 years before he used it?
Okay, so, no, because if it was chayav in tefillah, he said it was chayav in tefillah, you did
the tefillah. It's challah, that someone's gonna use it for food 10 years later. So
okay.
It's chayav in tefillah, whenever.
No, okay, but when that person makes that decision, that's when it's chayav in tefillah. So yesterday it wasn't chayav in tefillah. Let's say I myself chose to use it locked to the club, and I'm gonna use it for paper. My chayav in tefillah. If I change my mind, now I have to tell you what. So this guy who did it, he did it before it had been required to have tefillah. Okay, so Dainwai says, no, you blew it, you wasted your time, didn't do anything, you have to do tefillah again.
In yes. case Dainwai is discussing is where it was re-loaned or where it was sold to somebody.
Dainwai talked about a case where it went to somebody else who's for sure chayav in tefillah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm not telling you the case. It would be the same, right? According to Tzadik, it would be the same.
It would only make sense
yes.
to say the person behind
it. It went to a person who really needs
to give
yes.
the person
yes.
supposed to loan to the
yes.
second person.
I'm not telling you the real case. In a minute, I'm telling you the real case. Yes. Yes, correct. That would be true on Marshall. That's right. So Dainwai says, no, you didn't do anything. Okay, and Rabbi Blumenkranz, okay, you've all heard of, he wrote something about 40 years ago in the very first MTJ's Torah journal called the Torah Mahara. He wrote a chew about this topic. And he says, of course you don't have to tell you what. He says, let's think a second. The guy took the kli, he put it into the mitzvah. So he wasn't chayv. Let's say he was not chayv until he came at that point. Okay, he put it into the mitzvah. After he dunked it in the mitzvah, a guy never owned it. Tefillah's kelim is when a guy owns a kli, and then a yid buys it afterwards. So, after the tefillah happened, no one owned it. He said, I'm eating a little words here. He says, I'm saying, tefillah's kelim, it's not only effective because the person did a mitzvah. Tefillah's kelim, we don't know how tefillah works, but somehow there's something on there, there's toma on there, and it comes to take it off, and you go to the next one. So I took the toma off, and I wasn't obligated to take it off. I didn't have to do that. I wasn't supposed to do that. But l'maisa, I got the stuff, I got the toma off, whatever it is, like I put it in the washing machine, the way it was supposed to, got cleaned out. Now, the fact that the mitzvah didn't happen, it wasn't a difference. It doesn't work because I have a mitzvah to do. It works because it works. Whatever happens in the oil is when you stick something into the bottle, or whatever. Yeah, it got cleaned. It got Tohar, whatever that means. So you were chayav. He says, so now, after that happened, no guy owned it afterwards. The only chayav in tefillah, if a guy didn't own it, between the time the guy owned it and me, there was a tefillah. So I should be safe. Okay. Now, both of them, both Dain Weiss and Rabbi Blumkins, are both arguing, and they mentioned it, I'm not making this up, in Pshat and the Taz. Okay? The Taz that I told you that brings the Sis of a Heter, they're arguing about how to read the words of the Taz. Okay, like this. The Taz, remember what the Taz said. The Mechaber had said that if the person bought it to cut paper, not chayav in tefillah. If he lends it to somebody else, and that person wants to use it for food, the Mechaber said, no tefillah. And the Taz said, no, let's be machmer and do tefillah. And then the Taz says like this. He says, when the person who borrowed it gives it back to the owner, and he did the tefillah because he was being machmer for what I just told you, he should tell the owner, I'm changing this the words, but he should tell the owner that he did tefillah. Why? Because that way, if the owner sells it to somebody else, and that person is going to be really chayav in tefillah's kelim, for sure the guy who chayav in tefillah's kelim, that person needs to know that tefillah already happened. Okay? Now, why does the other person need to know that tefillah already happened? Okay, so the Taz's words are, shaloi yat bilenu shenis b'brocha. The Taz says, Moshe who gives it back to me, he did the tefillah, he should tell me that he did the tefillah, so I can pass on that information to the new, when I eventually sell it to somebody else. So that person, shaloyach bilenu, shenis bebrocha. Okay? So what does that mean? So what's the problem if the second person is going to tell you it? So Rabbi Blumenkranz says, he says, what do I care if the other guy's going to tell you it? What's this? Be careful, make sure the guy doesn't tell you what I'm trying to save him a trip to the mikvah. That's not the problem. He says, what I'm trying to do is make sure he doesn't make a brocha shenis tricha. I don't care if he makes it up, if he titles it again. Let him title it. Who cares? Let him title it. It doesn't mean he'll title it again. But don't make a shenis bebracha because the tefillah already happened. So you better stop that guy before he does it because he might make a tefillah bebracha. Okay? He might make a bracha vatala because he already had tefillah. Okay? And there's no need to title it again. Okay? And Dain Weiss says, that could be pshat. I mean, he doesn't bring up Blumkins, of course, but he says, that could be pshat. He says, but there's a, I'm sorry for who says that like that. Okay? Not only does he tell you where the Chasam Sofer is, he even quotes it verbatim. I just read about this before, and it doesn't exist. I mean, I shouldn't say it doesn't exist. I'm sure it exists someplace, because he quotes it word for word. This is what he says, and he makes Yukum into words, and Imam, she goes on and on and on. And I mean, he says it's on the Shulchan Aruch, and this Sikkotan, he got the whole details, and for life of me, I can't find it. When I searched the whole Bar Ilan, like, I picked that, like, you know, important words from there, like, you know, a couple words at a time, and search the whole Bar Ilan of all the typed words that they've ever thought of in a zillion Svarim, and the only times where it comes up is, in the Chasidta. And in the journal when Minchas Yitzchak printed this tshuva once before, it was in the Sefer. It pulled it up in some Torah journal up there also, but it also quotes, yeah. Like, oh, and then in a third place that says, in Minchas Yitzchak it says the following thing from the Chasam Sefer. Okay, so three different places, but they're all dancing around the same story. And there he brings from a supposed Chasam Sefer, who says, the Chasam Sefer says, that no, what the Taz means is that we want that the second person should. The second person should know. That they have to title it, but they shouldn't make the bracha. But they have to remember that they have to title it. Okay. Anyhow, so as I mentioned, I spoke to a priest about it before, and he thought that the pashas is like Rabbi Blumkin said, that all the Taz is worried about is that you shouldn't make a bracha, but you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't make a bracha again. But l'maisa, the tila happened. It's good enough. Okay, so now, what I told you till now, I told you first the machlokes between the machaber and the Taz and Shav, or is it better? And then I told you a second argument in the contemporary question about this question, what do you do if the first person, if someone did Tila before, so to speak, before they were supposed to? Okay?
The same question would only be if he gives it back to the original owner and then he decides he wants to use it.
If the owner would change his mind. Now, all what I told you so far, these two disagreements are very theoretical. Okay, if you want to understand it, then there's a theoretical thing. Okay, but there's a practical application to all that stuff. Okay, and that is like this. When the Mechaber said, the Mechaber's case that he brought was, the person bought it, okay, the Mechaber's case was that the person took it to cut paper. Okay, cutting paper is not kind of deal, it's not for food use. Okay, that's the case that the Mechaber says. But if you look in the Genesis, he has another case. Okay, the Taz is Maram, is that it? Another case. And that is not only that the person bought it, locked a cloth in to cut paper, which is obviously not having tefillah, he says it, but also if the person bought it with schoira. Okay, he bought it for business purposes. Okay, now you could question what he means by business purposes. What does he mean when he said that word business purposes? But the Taz says it out. The Taz speaks it out, and that's what everybody seems to assume, that what it means, l'schoira means, is a chenveni, which is to say, the person who bought the dishes, he didn't buy them to ever use, he owns a houseware store. So he bought the dishes to sell to other people. So not just, the case in the Mechab was the guy who bought it has intention of using it, but he's going to use it not for food use, he's going to use it for cutting paper. But now all of a sudden this is a very different case. Right? We're here, the person is it's going to be used for food. It's still a frying pan. What do you do with a frying pan? It's not for cooked food in it. Okay? It is a frying pan. But I don't own the frying pan for food use. I own the frying pan because I sell housewares. I sell frying pans. So I have it in my store and I'm never going to use it for food. I'm going to use it only to sell it to somebody else. Now, it's a chiddush here. That we're considering that's considered also not for food use. We would have imagined that it's still considered a clay suda. It's food meant for, this is a clay that's going to be used for food use. Not going to be by me, it's going to be the next person. I'm just like the I'm just, it's passing through my store. We would think it's not clay suda, okay? So the reason why that's not correct, I mean, the Beis Yosef says, and everybody accepts it, is because there's a theme, so to speak, that passes through a lot of these dinim, is that you only chayiv in tefillah if the kelim are exactly they were the way they were by clay bidyan. Okay, by clay, it has to be the same way, the term says when you capture these kelim from the goyim, that's when you chayiv in tefillah. So everything has to be done to that. That's going to be a theme of the next couple of halachas. It has to be done with a clay midyan. And by clay midyan, the people who took the kelim, they were going to use them. They weren't going to pass them on to somebody else, and therefore it has to be done with the clay midyan. And so what we call it clay schoira, things that are going to be used for business. Meaning even I'm a salesman, so I bought the frying pan to sell for the next guy, that's considered that I'm not using it for food use. It's a chiddush, and that's considered I'm not using it for food use. Okay, so now, that now brings up a shayla like this. And the shayla is even more, and again, nowadays, that lots of Jewish-owned houseware stores build a kelim mikvah right into the store. Think of the convenience, you know what I mean? You buy yourself a pot and you can title it right before you walk home. It's mama's so convenient, okay? So they build a kelim mikvah right into the store. So came along the next level of salesmanship and says is, not only could you title the pot before you take it home, I'll title the pot before you even buy it. I get in the shipment of pots, I'll title them all, and then people who buy them, you can not only could you be titled right away, I'll title it before you buy it. Okay, so it's not much so convenient, okay? The mix is so easy. I can do the mix for you, you know? I can title your pots for you, okay? So the person, he wants to do it before you. So that question, so what's happening here? The person who owns it is not chayim tilos kelim. For him, it's clay sari, he's not chayim tilos kelim. It's the case of the machaber. He's titling it before it's chayim tilos. When he's titling it, he owns it as a person, not only the case of the machaber that he lent it to somebody else. He's the mamash, the guy who bought lachtech klofim. He took lachtech klofim and he dumped it into mikvah, like you sort of mentioned before. He dumped it into mikvah with his own lachtech klofim. So does that tefillah work for the guy who's going to buy it? Okay, does it help for the person who's going to buy it afterwards, who's going to use it to cook soup in? Okay, so it's going to depend on this machlokes. Okay, according to Rabbi Blumenkranz, the person who did the tefillah, the person who did the tefillah in the store, the house, the person in the house where the store did the tefillah was effective. It means it's between the time the guy owned it and the yid owned it, it went to the mikvah, no chivin tefillah afterwards. According to Dain Weiss, it was completely worth it. And actually, with Diane Weiss and Rabbi Blumenkranz are talking about this case. Okay, a store owner who was tied with a kelim before he sold them. That's the case they're talking about. Okay, could a store owner be tied with a kelim? Rabbi Blumenkranz says, he says, if he does it, the tefillah works. Now, both of them point out that Lamaisa, whether it works or doesn't work, there's a downside, which is the storekeeper can't make a bracha. Because the storekeeper is not tied with tefillah's kelim. So the storekeeper, the houseware store owner can't make a bracha, asher kedushan says if it's not tefillah's kelim. Okay? So he's going to lose out on the bracha. So if he wants to, they say if he wants to, he could tie it with something that's really chayiv in tefillah. Okay? He could take one spoon for himself, use it for making his own coffee, and then he could make a bracha on that and tie everything with it. So, but if not, he's going to miss out on the bracha. Okay? But whether the tefillah works or doesn't work, and it's whether the buyer has to do the tefillah afterwards, if the store owner did the tefillah for him, will depend on this question between Blumenkranz and Daimler. Now,
Am I supposed to make another bracha?
Yeah, he says, does he make another bracha? I don't remember if he says to make a bracha. He sure says do tefillah again. I don't remember if he says to make another bracha. Maybe he's a little misup, but I'm not sure. Okay, but I don't remember if he said to make another bracha. But the question is whether the buyer has to make, he says for sure the buyer has to make a bracha. He says the first guy didn't do anything, it didn't help him. Okay. So let's move to one step further, which is, okay, the storekeeper decided he's doing tefillah's kelim. Okay? And it's either according to Dynamite, it's not working at all, or according to the Midrash, according to Rabbi Blumenkranz, it's working, but you can't make a bracha. So at what point could the store owner say, at this point, I for sure can do the tefillah? Okay? So we would assume that you have to wait until there's a kinyan. Okay? We would assume you have to, in order for it to be the buyer's, at which point it's for sure chayav tefillah, you have to wait for it to be a kinyan. Okay, that's what I would have assumed, that the buyer has to make a kinyan. In other words, the storekeeper can never do it before the guy buys it. What would be the kinyan? The kinyan would be mashicha. You have to take it home with him, you know? Or Agbah, you have to make a kinyan to walk, to take the only thing, at which point the storekeeper can then do a service and title it for him, but at that point he sort of missed the idea of, I'll title it before you buy. So Rabbi Blumenkranz has this whole cheshvin that, no, even once you place the order, it's already time that you could, even once you place the order, he could already do the tefillah for the person. He could do it with a bracha. Or he says, for sure, if he tells the guy to tefillah it. Now, he tells you a lot of details which are all true, which is, you can make a kinyan hagbah in the rishus of the malcher. Okay? You can make hagbah in the rishus of the malcher. He says, yes, you could do that. He says, and even the malcher himself could do the hagbah for the one keach. Yes, he could do that. He brings a ride, you could do that. He brings rice. All those parts could work. He even brings from a Shar Mishpat, who says that if a person ships something, that might be a kinyan already. If I ship it to you, it already might be a kinyan for you.
That's mishicha.
What? And therefore what?
See, that's much more he's making.
Well, okay. Well, he says maybe I shipped it, but what I'm missing in all of it, because all those things that I said so far are fine. Those are all reasonable choice things to say. Believe all of his writers. The question is, did they really happen? He says as well, if I told the person to title it for me, so he made hagbah for me. made hadbah for you. The store owner knows I'm making hadbah for you. He's trying to make a kinyan that you should own. Is that what he did? No. He told the 20-year-old in the front of the store, he said, listen, go table these dishes because Mrs. Jones just bought them. So the guy went ahead. So this the 20-year-old went and told him this. You know he's making hadbah for the other person? Maybe yes, maybe not. He says, if you ship it, this is from a Shara Mishra, when you shipped it already, it's as if the person had a kinyan on it because you already took responsibility, and if it breaks, it's going to be yours. Is that true? The person, he didn't even ship it yet. All he did was, Mrs. Jones called up and said, hi, I want 4 plates and 2 pots, and he put them on the side, and before he gives them to UPS, he puts them into the mikvah. So when he put them, before he gave them to UPS, it's also considered that he made this kinyan. That's shipped already. He didn't ship it already. He was getting ready to ship it. It didn't go out the door yet. It was getting ready. He titled it before he put it into the FedEx box. So how is application of those dinim? I wasn't so clear to me. In other words, you could do it. He's describing how the store owner could do it correctly, that it belongs to the person. He could say, listen here, I can tell you your dishes beforehand. If you want me to do it, I'll make a kinyan for you beforehand. Fine. I could ship it. He could do it. He could potentially do it in a way that he could do the bracha. He could do to you with the bracha beforehand. When he makes it as if it happens automatically. That wasn't so clear to me how that should happen automatically. Okay? Now, a side point in this whole issue is, if the storekeeper is going to be doing tefillas kelim for you, is that person just needs to be alert that him and the storekeeper have the same things in mind when they're talking. Okay? The storekeeper says, I'll table everything for you before you put. Okay? So the storekeeper's definition of everything and your definition of everything are not necessarily the same. Okay? I heard about this story from a Kala. Okay, the Kala bought her housewares from a store. A lot of houses from the same store, and the store says, and we'll title it. It's going to arrive in your house on this day, the day before, and we're going to title it, and everything's going to be fine. We're going to title everything for you. When the dishes showed up at the house, for whatever reason, they started to question whether everything was really titled, and they called the store up, and they said, what about this? And then he says, well, we don't title China, okay? And we don't title Corel either, because they told us about some mystical coating that's on top of it, and we don't title until the coating's taken off, whatever, some kind of a thing like that. And which this Kala's Rav had told her she should type both of those things. So all of a sudden they found out that the store's idea of type everything and their idea of type everything were not the same. Okay, so even if you're going to count on the store owner, we came to the point that you count the store to type everything, you have to make sure that your everything and his everything are the same thing. His decision on what he should type and yours may not be the same. Okay, so he's just a storekeeper. Okay, so he may have a Rav who tells him what to do, that's perfectly fine, but just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, that what he wants to table and you want to table is the same thing. Okay. Now, related to this, we're almost done. Related to this is like this. What happens if I buy a dish, I'm not a storekeeper, okay, but I buy a silver platter, and I buy it to give it as a present to somebody else. Okay, so there's a few pshat on the page from Rabbi Yashiv. Rabbi Yashiv says, if I buy it to give it as a present, that's also considered to be klei svara. Just like if I buy it to be, I'm a storekeeper, and I buy silver platters to sell to people, so too, if I buy a platter to give as a present, I'm going to give you a wedding present, I'm going to give you a silver platter, so the person should not do tefillah. Okay? That's not so hard to understand. Then he takes it one step further. And he says this, what happens if I buy the platter, but I don't buy the platter, the platter is going to be a present to you, but the present is for your child, Shalom Zohar. I buy a platter, and onto the platter I put a whole assortment of cakes and cookies that you are now to put out at your son's Shalom Zohar, and you're going to put it out on that tray, and then you can keep the tray. I'm really being generous, and that your baby present is the tray on there also. So Rabbi Yashiv says, in that case, you also should not table, because for me, the person who bought the tray, I'm never going to eat on this tray. What am I doing with the tray? I'm just giving this, for me, the tray is just a present that I'm giving to you, and it's a platter, and it's a nice way to carry the food over to your house, but I'm not going to eat on this tray. Okay, so now this is a whole step further. We start all the way back with a guy who bought Lachlis Klofim. Okay, now we're holding my person who's putting cake onto a tray and sending it to someone else's house where they're going to put the food out in the middle of the Shalom Zohar, all the cake on the tray. So, I mean, we would have imagined that that's klei suda. Not only am I going to use it for what anybody has, I'm putting food right onto it. Okay, Rashi says, no, but from my perspective, me, the guy who's giving it, the person who's giving it, he's not giving. He's not using it for food. He bought it as a present. He bought the tray as a present. And then he put some food onto that plate, and the next people he knows they can use it for food, that's what it is, but he's not buying for that. So Rabbi Yashiv says that person should also not pay for people.
That's like a jar, like a glass jar that you send like product in.
like a store, manufacturer, yeah. That's next time. We'll talk about manufacturers next time, right. I think, or maybe two times, I don't remember. That's going to come. But right now we're talking about a private person.
Right.
I just put the tray, I send it to your house to put out at your Shalom Zohar or your Kiddush or whatever it is. Okay, your Shalach Manas. Okay, I send you Shalach Manas. I send you, take, one of those examples, I send you Shalach Manas. Okay, here's all of what I'm giving you with Shalach Manas. I'm not going to eat it, but you're going to, okay?
And it's just a way to package something, it's not like
Even though, I'm well aware that you're going to take this tray and you're going to keep it, that's part of the point. And you're going to put it out at the Shalom Zohar on the tray. That's the
simple solution, that you just use the tray yourself before you give another
right. Like you're tricking.
I don't know all the food.
Yeah.
You're
making tricks. I'm just trying to bring out the chiddush of the din. You're going to say, I have a way to be tayva and ignore Rabbi Yashar. I'm just trying to bring out the chiddush of what he's trying to say. You're right. We can find a way to tayva it. I can eat on it, but that's, you know, okay, so now, Rabbi Yashar. He does. No, the person, he will have to pay with. Oh, no, you'll have to wait. You have to wait for next time. You have to come back next time and find out whether that guy, what the guy has to do. That's going to be next time. Whether that person has to do anything about it. That's, the Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as saying, at least in one of the cases, I assume it's in all the cases, that what happens if the person did do the tefillah, like he wasn't, like he didn't have to. Rabbi Yashiv said, you didn't have to do the tefillah. The guy did do the tefillah, and it was glass. Then he says, okay, then for the Yavid, you could be Simon. If it was glass, it's only Chayim to Medrabanan. And the guy, the middle person who wasn't Chayim Tila did it, he says, okay, you could be Simon on that, and the other guy doesn't have to tell it. But otherwise, the other person should do Tila again. I think he said Tila that a bracha.